This hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
They should know we will follow them to the gates of hell until they are brought to justice. Because hell is where they will reside.
Fighting for Idaho.
Idaho is probably 4, 5, 6, 7 times the size of pick a state in the east, New Hampshire, Connecticut. And yet your power in the electoral vote is a fraction of theirs.
Fighting for you.
This is the first time in American history when we're going to really leave our legacy and children with less opportunity than we had when we grew up. It's frightening and it requires immediate action.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning.
It's scary.
On 580 KID. Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO. Coming up, Dave Petzl will join us. Kevin Miller in the Morning. Once again, Alan L. Martin, attorney at law here. And I know you didn't get a chance to finish your thoughts here concerning the state and the federal government talking about marriage, the same-sex ban. I mean, even saying the same-sex ban, it puts the state on the defensive, right?
Well, that's the framework of the issue here. It's government state rights versus individual constitutional rights of due process. This is the battle that is going to be presented to the Ninth Circuit today. I think we all have a good idea what the Ninth Circuit's going to do, given the liberal tendencies of the court. But the values are pitted against each other. There's a moral code here that's being asserted by those who are supporting the state's rights issue here. And then there's a moral code, if you will, that's being asserted for individual freedom. The question posed here is, what role does government have in determining what marriage should be constituted? It's clear that in the state of Idaho, Idaho has adopted the approach that marriage is defined as a relationship or a contract between one man and one woman at any given time. And the challenge will be is that why is the government involved in discriminating against consenting adults from being able to contract with each other regardless of gender?
Right.
And this is what the court will decide is, does the government have a legitimate state interest in making that call? The older I get, from my standpoint, the more jaundice I get at government making decisions for us on an individual basis. But to the argument against that is that that's what all law is predicated upon, some type of moral premise. Murder, for example, is based on
what's the moral premise of redefining marriage?
Well, that's the point, is that it's not a redefinition. It's whether or not the government has a right to make that call for consenting adults who want to do something different.
Sure.
Or, as you brought up the issue,
polygamy,
is whether multiple adults can enter into one contract with each other. And that, obviously, is going to fall in the next battle. That really doesn't have any particular merit in this particular case.
How do you see this playing out? What's your prediction?
Oh, I think the Ninth Circuit's going to reverse the position of Idaho and the other states that prohibit gay marriage.
Oh, bully for you.
Well, it's not for me. I'm just telling you. You asked me what I think
This is agreement radio.
Yeah, you know, you've got what you've got though are three judges in the Ninth Circuit that have made it fairly clear what their political bent is.
Right.
And I think the battle here is going to be uphill for the states to be able to show that marriage does have, in fact, a legitimate state interest. And how that's going to be argued, it remains to be seen here today. But it is an epic battle of states' rights versus individual freedom. And we're going to have to see how it shakes out. The Ninth Circuit is not the final arbiter of this particular decision. This case will go to the Supreme Court. And it will be interesting to see how the Supreme Court first frames the issue and then secondly decides it.
All right. Alan L. Morton, attorney at law with us. We'll have more on this case coming up. Joining us now is our great friend Dave Petzl here at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
See, we have our staff attorney with us now.
I see that.
We have our staff financial guy, and now we have our staff attorney.
And the doctor will be in later.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk a little bit about the markets. It's been a while since we've yapped. Up, down, up, down. What's going on?
It's up. It's up. It's not up without a few down days in between, but we closed Friday at all-time highs again. Kevin, 5 weeks in a row since we haven't been visiting for a while. It's 5 weeks in a row up in spite of what's going on in Russia, in spite of what's going on actually all over the world geopolitically. But also, we had a very difficult, very poor jobs report on Friday. And in spite of that, the market continued to rally. So this is the most despised, hated bull market I've ever even heard of.
Now, people call it a false economy, Dave Petzo. They talk about the idea that the Fed is printing money. The jobs aren't really percolating, as you've just pointed out. 80% of the folks not in the market, is this fool's gold?
No, it's not. It's real gold. If you continue to say, because I'm not in the market, the market's phony, is simply saying, I missed it. Darn it, I missed it. And I think we outthink ourselves. What else are you going to put money into? And I talked about it on Saturday. What are you going to do? What else will you do? Are you going to put your money into cash, which earns zero? Gold, there's some gold bugs out there, but that's not, it doesn't produce anything, has no income. It doesn't do anything. And so if you're running pension money, big money, if you will, there really are little alternatives in the world other than U.S. stocks.
The idea, though, you do have some investors, and we've seen this in the Treasure Valley, and certainly we've covered it forever, at 580K IDO, is this issue involving buying real estate, buying property?
Absolutely.
For investments.
Yeah, and they are. Actually, as you well know, Kevin, property is doing much, much better than it was. And again, there's not a big problem there. Real estate is better than cash, but the returns have not been historically that good. In fact, the historic rate of return on single-family housing is 1% above inflation since 1950. That's not much. It's not much of a return and doesn't compare favorably at all. Actually, it compares very unfavorably to most other investments, including bonds. But bonds today with interest rates at all-time lows are really a very poor risk, I believe.
Now, Dave Petzo, as you know, I don't really know much about the markets. I just love to ask the questions. But if I were looking to invest heavy, I just invest in the medical field. That seems like the place where it's all going to grow. You've got to grow as opposed to go. You've got all these boomers retiring again and again and again. It would seem to me they're going to need medical attention. And a lot of people are concerned, though, having enough money to deal with medical expenses.
Absolutely, yeah. In fact, Kevin, this may not surprise you, but we're first of all, I think there's nothing wrong with that. They're targeting at least an overweighted position in healthcare. It's been a very profitable position to have.
Even with Obamacare.
Even with Obamacare, because around the edges, you're still seeing companies innovate and create. And Obamacare has not taken full effect to destroy the creation of new drugs and things like that. Not yet. Although that actually is out there. And on medical equipment, with the medical equipment tax, that's going to be a real detriment long term, but not short term. So these companies are still knocking the cover off the ball, doing very, very well. Now, when we take that and you say, what are we going to do long term as an investor? I think you do need to set aside money as an individual family to cover the kinds of things that are not covered by any national health care anywhere in the world, and they're not going to be covered by us either. We don't have the money. It will be rationed. We all know that, unless Obamacare is undone. And so if you want new knees and new hips when you're 88 years old, you better pay. You're going to be having to plan on paying
for it. Is it possible
to
have like a thrift store for those things, only used for a couple of years? You can clean everything off and then throw them back in?
Not a bad idea, Kevin.
All kidding aside, though, that is a big fear. Now, something that you deal with at Petzo Financial, the Petzo Center, Dave Petzo with us, Kevin Miller, 580K IDO, is when to retire. Mm-hmm. There's an article in USA Today saying, don't let your 401k retire before you. And everybody searches for, to retire because they think it's going to be the best ever. And then they find out they've worked their entire lives. They go crazy when they don't have anything to do. So I guess first and foremost, how do you make sure that your 401k, your IRA, whatever you have, doesn't retire before you?
Well, Kevin, first of all, most people aren't saving enough, and they are not for their retirement. It takes a humongous mountain of money to retire on. But that's the easy part of the answer, is if we have a number then I feel like I can now retire. When, especially for us men, we don't deal with the psychological side. And the best example I can give of that is if four guys go play golf and they don't know each other, and they get on the first tee and they start playing. By the second hole, everybody knows what somebody did for a living. We don't know how many kids the other person has. We don't care. But we do identify ourselves with our work, with our vocation, with who, that's who we are as men. And when we don't deal with that, we suddenly walk out of the workplace and become nothing but a retired guy that's kind of in the way. That psychologically is very, very difficult on people. So it's two sides. The money side is a formulaic answer, and that's what human beings like. The difficult part is figuring out what you're going to do for the rest of your life every day.
Dave Petzl with us, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. As Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, looks on, I guess he's doing some prep for his legal services here. But let me see, you can tell the intellectual firepower in this room has gone up quite a bit, hasn't it?
Oh, definitely, yeah. You know, we have an attorney in the room.
We're just watching what you say now, Dave.
All right.
what about debt services? Is that going to be a big issue? You know, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, and I talk about just debt services and how, you know, people are struggling to deal with debt. You and I have talked about this. Mm-hmm. You have people in their 60s now trying to pay off student loans still.
I'm not sure why or what happened in this country where we got away from having a regular savings, but people didn't. We have this instant gratification, and that's not everybody. I'm not going to condemn everyone here because there's a lot of people that really do put money aside. Get it early. Do it from that point of view. But it is changing, Kevin. I really think it is. I mean, whether it's a Dave Ramsey type of a program, you see him around, you see him in all the churches. People are trying to simplify. They are trying to get out of debt. And I really have seen it on a local basis. This recession, although everybody, you know, it's a terrible thing, it's a bad thing, people lost jobs. I get all that, but sometimes we need that kind of wake-up call that says, hey, we've got too much debt out there. We've got too much leverage out there. The government's still too leveraged. They don't get it. We just print more money and don't deal with the hard issues. But on a family basis, we are definitely dealing with it and doing a better job of it.
Here's what I want to ask.
Hold on. Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, thanks for butting in here. Go ahead.
You bet. I have a number of clients.
Are you qualified to ask Dave Petzl a question here?
I do, and I'm telling you, it's right out of gut fear that every listener has, and that is when we're dealing with equities, there's always a risk factor that's involved in the investment, of losing our investment. But how do you explain and address that fear where you have a client that comes in and they're worried that if they invest their money now because the market is at an all-time high that, you know, what goes up must come down, and if it's so high, it's gonna go down. How do you address that and alleviate that fear?
Well, there's two different issues. First of all, oftentimes people are actually making an excuse for why they are blowing money that they should be saving. It's not the issue is not the markets. When the issue becomes the markets, then you have to educate people, because the reality is, no matter when you bought stocks, it's not a timing issue. It's being in the market that counts. And if people are talking about an individual security, you're quite right, there is risk. The risk of the market going away is near zero, or we have complete collapse, and I don't know why your dollars would be worth something where the corporations of the world are worth zero. So the reality is it's an education problem. If you need money immediately, then, of course, timing is the issue. But if you're talking about long-term investment, long-term savings, then equity risk is worth taking because it's what has produced the 10% returns. And when we compare that to basically that's 7 points for 200 years above inflation.
Okay, you're going to have to simplify that for me.
7% above inflation.
Right.
For 200 years is what the market has averaged.
All right, Dave Petzl with us, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. Why is he here? That's a good question. Let's get you to work safely and on time at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Dave.
Traffic now dealing with an accident, I-84 eastbound in that Meridian construction zone right before the Meridian overpass on the right-hand side. Watch for crews working. Need to get around there. Another accident working in Canyon County, minor one at Amity and Happy Valley right there at the roundabout. The epic Robert Comstock and Friends sale at Expo Idaho starts this Thursday, September 11th from 11 till 9 and continues through Friday and Saturday, 9 till 9. Discounts are huge on one-of-a-kind men's and women's high fashion and casual wear. I'm Dave Burnett. That's your traffic now on 580 KIDO.
Weather from the Channel 7 First Alert Weather Center.
sunny skies. Going to receive some warm temperatures for the day today. In fact, it's well above normal. We'll get up to 89 degrees. It's going to be similar to yesterday. We got to 91 yesterday. But, you know, there's a dry cold front that's coming through. So even though we'll stay with the sunshine, temperature's going to drop by as much as 15 degrees. We're dropping down to the middle 70s as we go through the middle section of the week. However, with the sunshine staying, more high pressure moves in and warmer temperatures by the weekend. I'm just Channel 7's Eric Everett.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, good morning. Talking money with Dave Pezzo here. Remember the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial, Dave Pezzo, Money Matters, 8 to 10. What is this, 25 years?
25 years, yeah.
25 years.
Yeah.
And you give up your Saturdays, why?
Kevin, actually, that's a big question. I just started doing it and really enjoyed it, and it does make me better because, as you well know, doing this all these years, you have to think about what the audience wants to hear about, don't you? I mean, you're thinking all the time.
Well, and through good times and through bad.
Yes, and then there is a commitment when times are rough to really try to help people get through and make wise decisions because we don't want to emotionally. We really don't. And so, yeah, it partly has become my calling, if you will. I really enjoy doing it, and I really want to help educate. There's not a lot of education out there. It's either A, self-promotion, or B, it's trying to sell product.
Well, yes, and if it's too good to be true, it usually is. Let's talk about jobs. We have this jobs report. Is the administration cooking the books like a lot of people charge, where they say the reason why the jobs aren't more horrific than they are, the jobs report, is because they've thrown in part-time jobs. They've kind of allegedly cooked the books. What do you think?
It's not that they've cooked the books. The books are in their favor. Anytime somebody has a part-time job, that's another job created. The reality is the payroll taxes are down. You can't lie about that. That's the thing you cannot lie about, because payroll taxes are the amount that we're taxing or taking from each individual's pay, and they're down. So this is a very serious problem, as you just pointed out, with the part-time work. Sure, we have more jobs part-time, but we obviously have fewer full-time jobs. Something's wrong when payroll taxes are declining, and they have been. So that part is inaccurate or in their favor. The administration's favor. And the second one is how many people have been put on Social Security disability is, in my mind, a national disgrace. That part I find incredibly offensive, because there are literally hundreds of thousands of people that have been quickly put on to the disabled roles for Social Security. This was used to be difficult, and people went back to work, and now if you have a bad back, you automatically are on, and it's a bad thing.
Well, you bring up a good point. As always, Dave Pezzo with us, Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO. Let's delve into Social Security a little bit more, the dependency culture. Mitt Romney was criticized for saying, heck, you're going to lose 41-43% already because people don't want to work. They're not going to work. They're not going to lose their benefits. It's getting to a point where we have people making a lot of money, and then we have the people that are dependent on them making money. When are we going to capsize? Is that possible that we won't have enough workers to maintain the extravagant dependency culture that we have right now?
Kevin, I don't think it's just a financial question. Obviously, we are running huge deficits, and that is a problem. And you can't tax the rich anymore. I don't care what Obama thinks he's going to do. There just aren't enough. There's not enough, and they're already taking 60% when you include federal and state taxes out of the top wage earners. 60%. That's just plenty, if you will. Now, I think it's also a function of, if you will, the whole society. When we have this kind of entitlement mentality, this lack of work is destructive, corrosive to the whole system, Kevin. I think that'll bring us down. I don't think it'll be an economic question. I think it will be a question of how do you run a society of underachievers. Well, you don't. You become Europe. That's exactly what Europe did. And when you think of all the great things in the world, you think of all the things in this world that are created, the biotech companies, the art, the architecture, it's all from freedom. It's all from individual expression. Governments don't make or create or innovate anything. They destroy. And they take that creativity. Nothing's come out of Europe, and that's only socialism. Imagine what communism has, which is dark, gray, zero.
Quickly to the probably the bane of our friend Terry from State College, Pennsylvania, who continues to talk about the petrodollar and talk to me about the petrodollar. And Terry, we appreciate you listening and your information. How is the dollar doing? Because that's a big fear.
The dollar's doing very well.
That the dollar will collapse and we'll lose our advantage that we've had for years.
Yeah, I don't. I don't know what to tell people. What are we going to use? What dollar are we going to use? Are we going to use a yuan, the ruble, the euro? All are collapsing or near collapse, and or are all phony based on what they are being propped up by their own governments. The only free-flowing one out there that anybody has any faith in is the dollar, the U.S. dollar, and it's been rising very strongly because of any concerns geopolitically in the world, and interest rates are actually declining in other places. And let me ask you a simple question. Which would you buy? Do you want a 10-year U.S. Treasury or do you want a 10-year Spanish bond?
I'm not
both
buying a ruble.
Equal the same. Yield. Both are the same. And
right.
Yet Spain was thought to be bankrupt and is near bankruptcy, but was thought to be bankrupt just a year ago. So it makes no sense that we wouldn't have money coming in. So, no, I'm not worried at all, certainly immediately,
right,
about the U.S. dollar.
Quickly to, and Dave, thank you, quickly to our friend Linda from Emmett here at 580KIDO. Hello, Linda. You've been on hold for 37 minutes. Good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. This is the guy, what I've called about has nothing to do with what your segment is, but I'm calling about the domestic violence abuse that goes on and this football player who, my solution to him would be he doesn't play ever again. Kick him out of the league. He has no right to, abuse anybody, let alone somebody he quote-unquote loves. I'm a domestic violence survivor, and the demoralization that goes on in a relationship where, you know, if the man thinks, well, if she won't do what I tell her to do, the answer is I'll give her a pop in the nose. And somewhere, somehow, people need to get the word out that the only way they're going to stop domestic violence is, A, give the women a chance to get into some counseling, because you end up feeling less than useless. It's all my fault. If I only did this, he wouldn't do it. And, oh, he loves me, I've heard it all, I've seen it all, and until we come down harder than bricks on a road, this stuff is going to continue because they don't jail these guys usually. I can remember the days when the sheriff would show up and tell him to go to the bar, cool off for a couple hours, and then come home. Well, that's part of the problem. It's substance abuse, alcoholism, And domestic violence, usually it's a three-handed triangle. And I just wanted to, people laugh. They think it's silly. They don't believe it happens. And I'm speaking as a woman who divorced both men. And then by myself went on to raise two kids. Who, raising teenagers by yourself is not an easy task, care what anybody says. But it took me a long time to be able to look at myself in the mirror after I, finally made my stand and said, all right, this is it, no more. It took me a long time to get my self-worth and self-esteem back. And thank God, in California, L.A. County Sheriff's, L.A. City Police has changed their take on this. And now, if you're standing there and the sheriff or the city police show up and you've got marks on you and the other guy doesn't, they're finally putting these guys in jail, which is where they belong, prosecuted for abuse. Not, told, oh, go cool off for a couple hours, and then you come back. And L.A.'s law did not change until a girl's family went after the city and the county, and I don't remember how much money it was, but it was a definitive amount of money because her daughter's boyfriend, when the city police showed up, they told him to go away and cool off. He went away. He went around the corner.
Well, You're right, Linda.
I got to let you go. I know.
Right. No, I appreciate it, and I know it's not easy, but God bless you, and you're in my prayers every night.
Thank you, Kevin. You're in mine, too.
Okay, take care.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 580 KIDO.
News on Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller here. Let's go to live to Mountain Home Air Force Base with our friend Ray Amaya. Ray?
Good morning, Kevin. Out here at Mountain Home Air Force Base, where they are getting ready for Gunfighter Skies 2014. And with me now, Base Commander Colonel David Iverson. Welcome, Colonel.
Thank you, Ray. Appreciate it. Good morning.
Good morning. Boy, it's great here. Looking at your bio, you're a pilot.
I am. I started, came into the service through Reserve Officer Training Corps and started flying the F-15. That was my first assignment after pilot training.
Now, the airmen here are really excited when the base commander is a pilot, too, because they feel like, you know, they have something in common, and you know, the mission here is all about flying.
Right, absolutely. And most flying bases, at least, the wing commander, the base commander, is a pilot and flies the major weapon system here, which is the F-15E for us.
Now, but you have a lot of flying time. I mean, 4,400 hours. Is that a record?
It is for the F-15E. So I've got the highest number of flying hours for the F-15E in the Air Force, and it's about a 1.3 hours at a time. It takes a little while to get to that many hours, but I've loved every minute of it. I came in the Air Force to fly. That was the big draw for me. So I've loved every moment of it.
Now, when talking about Mountain Home Air Force Base, it's a pretty sizable base here.
It is. We've got about 4,300 between our active duty, our guard. We actually have an Idaho Guard unit here also, and our civilians that work on base, about 4,300 members of the base. That's not including all the families that are in addition to that.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you have civilian contractors on base as well.
We do. We've got about 700 total civilians that work throughout the base. So it's a pretty large economic impact on the southern Idaho area. And most of our people live either here on base or in the town of Mountain Home, but we have a sizable number that live up in the Boise area. About 800 people actually commute from the Boise metro area down here to Mountain Home Air Force Base every day.
Yeah, and like you said, that very big economic impact on the Treasure Valley, southern Idaho.
Absolutely, just not in the salaries, but also in all the contracts we do, all the supplies we bring in here, the fuel we bring in for the airplanes, everything. It is a pretty sizable impact.
Now, Gunfighter Skies coming up. You haven't done one since 2011.
Yes, 2011 was the last one. And the Air Force, because of sequestration, the last couple of years actually cut down a lot of the air shows. So we're very excited. We're one of five throughout the U.S. here that's having an air show this year. So that's very exciting.
So just to let our listeners know, that's pretty.
Yep.
This is a unique thing coming up.
It is, and you know, we'll see what happens in the future with the budgets. But we're glad to have it this year. Who knows when it'll be back? So invite everybody to come out on the on Saturday and Sunday, the 20th and 21st, to enjoy with the Thunderbirds being here, as well as quite a few civilian acts that'll be here, and then a number of static aircraft, about 18 or 19 static aircraft. They can come out and take a look at also.
Excellent. Gosh, I think we've covered everything. But do you have anything else you would like to add at this point?
No, I appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity. And again, just invite listeners to come out for the air show. We look forward to showcasing Mountain Home Air Force Base, showcasing the United States Air Force, and everything that we do to provide for the defense of our nation.
And that will be great. Thank you very much. Let's continue on. We go to Robert, Kevin Miller at 580KIDO, with a very special story. Robert, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. Thanks for having me on.
You know, you contacted me last night via Facebook. Please tell me what's going on. First of all, thank you for your service, and we've got a war hero coming home, and what can we do to help?
Well, Jessa is a Malinois. She's an EDD dog. That's an explosive detection dog. And we worked under a State Department contract there in Baghdad. I was injured out myself about a year ago. And I could not bring her home with me because they go to next handlers. However, she herself injured out, and I was contacted by one of my friends over there, another handler, happens to be from Idaho as well, that she was being put up for adoption. And, of course, he contacted me because he knew I would want to rescue her. And so I started a campaign to try to get her home. It's going to be a substantial amount of money. and a little more than we could swing at the family of five here, trying to get by like everybody else.
Well, let me tell you something, Robert. First of all, you touched my heart, and you're going to touch so many people. And so for folks that are interested, it's to GoFundMe.com, bring Jessa home. And I don't mean to overtalk you, sir. I just want to make sure we get the information out. GoFundMe.com.
Sure.
Go to bring Jessa home. So you talked about it with your family. Now you're adding your companion coming home. Tell us what that means to you. And, again, what you're looking for. What can we do to help you, sir?
Well, I can't hardly talk about that, Kevin, without getting a little choked up. I started training her when she was just a puppy. And she was like just 14 months old. And she worked with me in Baghdad in the worst conditions you can probably imagine. We worked to secure the embassy there in Baghdad and then the outer checkpoint for the people that are coming into the city. Our people are still there doing that today. These brave men and women and the canines. And Jessa did that, and she was just a fantastic animal, fantastic companion. And she, you know, her service to our country means so much to me that she deserves to come home and retire with a family and learn how to be a dog, you know, and she doesn't have to work anymore. You know, she can just be a dog with my children and enjoy her the rest of her life here. We did start this campaign on GoFundMe.com at Bring Jessa Home about 10 days ago, maybe a little more than that. We set an initial goal of just to get her home because, you know, we're not trying to make anything here, just to get her home. It was going to be about $800, and we made it. We made that goal. We've been contacted by the adoption people over there that she has dropped weight, and she's got torn muscle in her rear. And she's probably going to need, well, she will need vet care. We just don't know how extensive yet. And so I went ahead and upped the goal to 16, so another 8. And we'll have our vet here check her out and see what kind of medical issues she's going to need to deal with to get her healthy. And that's where we're at. So I know it doesn't seem like a lot of money, $800. It is to us. And so anything that could be, you know, that people can help will be, you know, greatly appreciated, not just for my family, but for Jessa and getting her home.
Well, Robert, let's again, GoFundMe.com, bring Jessa home, J-E-S-A, home. And we've got your back on this, my friend.
All right. Thanks, Kat. I really appreciate it.
No, we're not done with you yet, my friend. Let's talk a little bit more about just what it was like to work with Jessa and how pumped you are to bring her here to the Treasure Valley.
Well, working with her over there in the conditions we did, it amazed me because it's hard on the human body. It's hard on all the guys and gals that are over there working right now. In the search pit, the temperatures get up to 130 degrees because you're just surrounded by nothing but a concrete jungle in those areas. And not to mention the stress on us, the people, the handlers, but the stress on the animals working there. We work 12-hour shifts, you know, every day. You don't have any time off, you know, and they work amazingly. You know, I did tell a little story on that site one day that we were called out to an outer checkpoint, and we don't go there, right? But it was the Iraqi military asking a favor from apparently the embassy. And we volunteered, me and Jessa. And so we just took our interpreter and in a pickup truck and drove to one of these outer checkpoints. And, you know, it's a little unnerving. there was, you know, this tanks and M60s, and you can just imagine we were just surrounded by all of this military equipment that, you know, is supposedly friendly, but you're never safe when you're on the border of the red zone and the green zone. And, there was over 600 briefcases these people were asking us to search. It was 3 or 4 pickup trucks loaded with briefcases that were destined to go into Baghdad for the government. And they all had to be checked. And it was so hot. I was looking for shade, you know, next to a semi-truck just to get myself out of it, you know. And I just was feeling so bad for it. Yes, I was, you know, giving her bottled water, you know, best I could to keep her hydrated. But she did it, you know, and she did it with all these guys, you know, watching, on looking, you know, seeing what we're doing. She did it. I was so proud of her. And to my knowledge, I don't think any EDD has ever searched that amount. They're literally piles in an open area of these briefcases. It was amazing. She's amazing. She's an amazing dog. She did what I asked her to. She got nothing in return except my affection and her dog food. And they just work, you know, and serve our country, keeping our people safe over there. They're doing that today, you know. Men and women from sheriff's departments, police departments, every branch of the military, all of these people are over there. You don't hear about them, but they're there.
Right. Robert, let me just again remind people, GoFundMe.com, bring Jessa home. And I'm going to ask you to hold on the line here for a minute because I want to talk to you off the air. But,
sure.
You got to send me those pictures. We're going to have all the information on our website and our Facebook and everything else because, I'm just moved by your story, and I know that the people listening here are moved by it. So God bless you for not leaving little Jessa behind.
Oh, yeah. I didn't want to. I didn't have a choice at the time, but I'm so thrilled that I get a chance to rescue her, save her.
Yeah.
Give her a good home.
You're doing a great thing. Yeah. So, Robert, please stand by. I'll talk to you in a second. If you would like to help bring Jessa home, here you have this canine that served our country. And Robert, who served our country, she's injured. She needs your help. Go to GoFundMe.com, type in Bring Jessa Home, J-E-S-A, and make a difference. And we'll have that for you probably after 10 a.m. today on our website here at 580KIDO. Truly a remarkable story, a story of inspiration. And doesn't take much to help, does it? I know I'm kicking in. Let's get you to work safely and on time at 580KIDO. I hope you do as well. Good morning, Dave.
Traffic now dealing with an accident, I-84 eastbound in that Meridian construction zone right before the Meridian overpass on the right-hand side. Watch for crews working you to get around there. Another accident working in Canyon County, minor one at Amity and Happy Valley right there at the roundabout. The epic Robert Comstock and Friends sale at Expo Idaho starts this Thursday, September 11th from 11 till 9 and continues through Friday and Saturday, 9 till 9. Discounts are huge on one-of-a-kind men's and women's high fashion and casual wear. I'm Dave Burnett. That's your traffic now on 580KIDO.
Weather from the Channel 7 First Alert Weather Center.
Sunny skies, warm temperatures, 89 degrees for today. That's thanks to a little bit of that high pressure still hanging around, but that will be changing. We're going to be looking at a cold front coming through. However, it's not producing clouds. It's a dry cold front. What we're going to have is temperatures that are going to be dropping down to the mid-70s. We will see a little warm-up again with some high pressure for the weekend. I'm News Channel 7's Larry Gabbard.
Glenn Beck.